Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. Today, I am so happy to welcome back Carla Lundblade. She's going to help me kick off the new year, and we are just going to have a good old time. Carla is an elite skills analyst and licensed clinical therapist. She specializes in sports and entertainment industry professionals, and she provides full-spectrum multicultural relief. I can't even say it. It's Happy New Year! Focused psychology and counseling services. And Carla specializes in sports and performance psychologies and the neuroscience of interpersonal neurobiology. I can say that one. As it pertains to career adaptability. Now, the reason I am telling you this is because it sounds intimidating as all get out. But I am here to tell you that Carla is absolutely one of the most fun and interesting people that I have ever had the good fortune to interview here. And we're going to be covering some really fascinating topics today. Carla, I'm so glad you're back. Welcome and Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Denise. And I remember I had you on my radio show, Psyched Up Radio, not too long ago. And I remember you said to me, it was really funny, you said that, you know, it's different when you're on the other side of the mic. You know,
it is
the interviewer versus the interviewee. And I'm sitting here telling you, oh, my goodness, you're absolutely right.
I know. So. You know, you lose all control. You have no idea what's going down.
But let me back up. For you. Yeah.
And you know, when you interviewed me, I was all prepared. I was so proud of myself. I sat down and I wrote it all out. And, you know, I was prepared, and we didn't talk about anything that we were supposed to talk about. So it was actually a lot of fun, and I have to tell you, you pulled some information out of me that I didn't know I had. So it was a lot of fun, and forgive me, I'm raspy. I've got my annual cold, or I think my annual cold.
I think what's wonderful is that you're saying is that, you know, sometimes the more important things that we all talk about and the more important directions that we take in our life are almost unconscious to us. And that is most true in anybody who is developing a celebrity career and really taking a risk with the talent and the unique talent and, more importantly, the unique dreams that they have. It's an absolutely terrifying journey for anyone to start a career that way. But then really how your career is guided in the best way is accessing that information that is in who you are and the things that are really important. And I think even our interview pointed that out in the sense that, you know, we just, you know, I'm trying not to cuss because I talk like a trucker. But, you know,
we're going to cover that too.
We threw away the list of, you know, what was intellectualized and prefab and got into things that were actually more meaningful. And that is exactly what I do when I work with celebrities, and I have some A-list celebrity projects I'm so excited to tell you about today. And people are really understanding that they can come into their celebrity careers and manage their own celebrity careers and not fail to the tune of almost 80%, which is happening right now with our professional athletes and young celebrities coming into different, you know, areas of their fame. And so for today, I have lined up, and I hope it happens, no guarantees here, but one of the questions I always get is, okay, Carla, tell us who you really work with. Well, my answer is always, I can't do that. You know, I'm a therapist by license, and you know, that professional code of ethics is very important to me. And, you know, protecting that environment is really important to me. But today, I am going to have a special guest join us, a celebrity client that I have had the pleasure of working with that has come out publicly to talk about what he himself has dealt with in his career and now where he is, and maybe we'll get a few tidbits as to where he's going. And I'm so excited for that. And the only clue I'm going to give you is he's coming right after work, and I know he is sprinting into the phone to meet with us today. So I'm hoping it will happen.
Oh, I hope it will, too. Thank you. You know me. I have plenty to say. I'm just about stuttering. That is really great. I'm excited. Now, I want you to go back just a little bit because we've had several interviews before. You're really, honestly, one of my favorite people to interview. You're so much fun. We get along so well. We have things going on, you know, offline that we're thinking about working on together. We've got a lot of different things going on. But when I met you, you were introduced to me, and I'm going to say this again, and I've said it on my radio show before, when your PR person asked if you could come on my show, I said, well, sure, tell me a little bit about her, because I like to meet people at least on the phone before, you know, I interview you so we're not boring. I've only had one that I just had to go, oh, God, and I deleted it. It was like watching paint dry. It was so bad. But you were introduced to me as this tall, statuesque. This is how you were described. She is tall. She is gorgeous. She is stunning, and she speaks trucker. I said, give her my phone number. We can be friends. And here we are. And you were just kind of, I mean, you've always had your career path, but you were just starting out on your own celebrity path at that time, weren't you?
Absolutely. You know, it's like, I'm
yeah.
not just
and it wasn't
the,
that long ago.
Yeah.
Right. It was not that long ago.
This is what I looked at when I stepped out. You know, as a therapist, there are many different ways I could have gone in my career, many different populations that I could have worked with. Mm-hmm. I think the people that have been most fascinating to me, and it's kind of a sell as far as what I do that's most interesting. You know, when people think of a therapist, they think of, you know, diseased or, you know, bereaved people going through difficult times in their life, and a place for
right.
a clinical therapist is to take them from a very horrible situation to then average life. Well, there's a whole other level of psychology that is evidence-based with over 30 years of research, and it is called positive psychology. And it's where we take normal, everyday functioning people, hopefully I'm in that category, not sure about that, and then we take them and take their lives and make them extraordinary. And, you know, there's clinical ways that we do this, and almost nobody is aware of what can really happen when you start stepping into your individuality and you take ownership of your dreams and you begin to follow them. And no one is a more perfect example of that than me. So, you know, when I'm sitting there, I just turned 47. And so when I'm sitting there at 45 and saying, huh, what am I going to do with my career? Hey, I think I'll go into the heart of Beverly Hills, you know, because I already had some celebrity clients, sports clients at that point. I'm going to go into the heart of Beverly Hills. I think I've got some really important things to say that can really impact the sports and celebrity environment and really help careers to stop imploding to the tune of 80%, almost 80%. And,
yeah,
you know, I think
number.
I have something really meaningful to offer. And then to make the personal choices in my life to make that happen, and, you know, not all of them are positive choices that have affected me in a positive way. And here I am, a 45-year-old woman headed to Beverly Hills wanting to start a media public career and a really important private practice. It's a little bit like Pretty Woman. Because it just goes from nothing to everything. And I think the most important thing to me is not that it's necessarily about me, but it's about my ability to connect with people and improve the lives and have something important to say. That is really the meaningful work of my life. And it is opportunities like talking with you, and we learn different things, or working with my celebrity clients and it making a personal, emotional difference in the direction of their career, not just their personal life, but their careers. That is hugely important to me, and apparently it's an important message now internationally, as I have some international projects I'm working on.
Well, and, you know, Carla, that makes perfect sense. I mean, so many of us in business, particularly those who are like me, a solopreneur, entrepreneur, many of us hire business coaches at different times, or sometimes we have several business coaches, kind of like Tiger Woods did. You know, he had many coaches, you know, working with him. And what I hear a lot of with my coach or coaches, depending on who I'm working with, is neuro-linguistic. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of psychology that goes on in coaching practices. So what you're saying makes absolutely perfect sense to me, because I've been reaping the rewards of a lot of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, that is some amazing work done there, in definitely within my, you know, area of practice that I think is really important. You know, I think too, you know, something that might be unique is, you know, I really consider myself a scientist first. And mm-hmm. so that everything that I use is evidence-based and, you know, follows appropriate, you know, protocols and is clinically developed. But it's not clinically, it's clinically developed for a normal, well-functioning population moving to the extraordinary. And that's probably been the biggest problem. You know, it's like I'll meet people at parties or events. I'll be at an Emmys event or something, and they're like, hi, what do you do? Well, I'm a licensed clinical therapist. Boy, you can hear the crickets. Because they're holding their drink, and they're like, oh, crap, I'm not going to say anything about myself now. And I usually lean in, and I'll say, please don't judge me. And then we break the ice, and we start talking. But so much of what I do has to do with the career. And I think, I don't know where this has come from, where we have separated who we are from what we do. It's like the American way. You know, what we do is not a representation of who we are. And yet what we do, we will fail in if we don't support and build who we are personally. And so what I do is merge those two worlds, especially with young people. A lot of
Carla? Oh, no. Did we lose you? Okay, we're having trouble with Blog Talk Radio, but she'll call back in. So in the meantime, if you have an opportunity to go back and listen to some of the interviews that I've done with Carla, she's fascinating. She is absolutely a fascinating woman, and she is a scientist, but she is also drop-dead gorgeous and funny. So go to your partner in success, yourpartnerinsuccessradio.com. And look for our interviews there. You can also look for our interviews on Blog Talk Radio. Just type in Carla Lundblade. Carla, you back?
Yeah, I am back. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Technology,
it happens.
At its finest.
I have learned to just keep on talking.
I was going to give you
some
background.
And I don't even care if I make sense. I just keep talking.
Well, you know, and that, I mean, this actually brings up another point is, you know, when I'm talking with young celebrities in the making, there's this idea of perfection, that your career has to be perfect, your life has to be perfect.
Right.
There's this idea that you have to create this fake persona. And I think one of the most endearing things about me that I really enjoy is that the perfection is in the perfection. I mean, there are many times I will slide into something sideways, you know, my Camaro slips mm-hmm. sideways, the parking lot, my, you know, five pairs of shoes fall out my car door and I'm running to an event. But I have a real grace about that, and I have a real understanding for myself that everything, you know, first off, I'm human. And that's what makes this
right.
whole process wonderful. There are going to be the imperfections or the oops that come along the way. And sometimes you can have the most amazing experience, conversation, networking opportunity because you were memorable, because something happened. Maybe you had toilet paper come stuck to your shoe, or you know, something just really that would mortify you normally. Make
right.
a really wonderful opportunity to network and create relationships. And the relationships are really where your business builds. And you are phenomenal. I get phone calls from you, and we talk on Facebook, and I got this beautiful
mm-hmm.
gift from you in the mail. I mean, it's amazing how special these relationships can be, and really how financially beneficial they can be as you build your business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you just never know, and you mentioned technology a bit ago. Look, I have gotten to meet some of the most remarkable people from all over this country and in Canada and a couple, you know, internationally that I would never, ever get to meet without technology, you know, without social media marketing, without WordPress, without doing the things that we do by just getting together and, you know, offering programs like this and saying, listen, we have things to say and they're important. Anybody want to tune in? And they do. And, you know, we really create some remarkable things just from oftentimes getting on the phone and talking.
Yeah, it's
So you just never know.
A lot of people have a very negative opinion about where we are in the world today, and especially as far as social media and the mind-sucking that happens from computers and, you know, our fascination with that. I personally think it is one of the most amazing times in the world's history. I mean, when you think about it, this is the first time in history where all people, most people, many more groups can be represented in real time as historical events are happening, and that there is this access to information that has never, ever been available to the depth that it is today. And so our history is actually being written from the contributions in social media today. And I think it's a really wonderful, wonderful time for us as human beings as we move forward. I think it's a great time in the world for some exponentially positive change that's moving very, very swiftly. So I really do enjoy
it. We had talked about that too. With everything that is great, there is the potential and probability for bad and for evil. So there has to be a line somewhere that, you know, you just consciously walk it. And I think that each individual needs to say, okay, this is what I'm willing to put out on the internet. This is what I am not willing to put out on the internet. Unfortunately, a lot of people haven't learned not to just throw up all over the internet. Let's just put it out there. And they just put all kinds of stuff out there that make your eyebrows go up into your hairline like, what? So, you know, I think there's a learning curve, and hopefully we'll get there where people aren't quite so nasty on the internet. But those who do it well do it really well, and they will prosper. Those who do it poorly, it cannot end well.
And I think something has to happen
with that.
Yeah, and you make a really great point in the sense that it is a learning curve. You know, I've been through that learning curve too. And, you know, when you have I was talking to one of my baseball players, and it's so funny because I don't really say any, I watch everything, you know, because I'm advising in the proper ways. And she's, we were all 18 to 20 at some point. And, you know, so there's a lot of life experience that's not there. And there's a lot of excitement and unique celebrity experiences that are. And that can be a real powder keg for bad media.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's something I take very seriously. And I was talking to one of my baseball players, and all I said to him was, I said, I've been looking at your wall.
<Mm-mm>.
And he just looked at me and he kind of looked down and he goes, you know, I should probably take a look at that and take some things off of there. And then we moved on to the next conversation. And so, you know, it's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful curve. I think what's also really interesting, most interesting to me about Facebook is I can get a really great emotional read, get a read of values and ideas from individuals. In fact, when I, you know, when I'm looking at potential clients coming into my practice, that's a prerequisite is I need to know, you know, kind of who they are, where they are, how they're representing themselves, how coachable they're going to be. And, you know, case in point, I just finished, tomorrow, but then I'm not sure what day. Within the next few days, I'm finishing up a month-long project with Kelly Osbourne and ITV and the Lorraine Show.
I read about
that. The learning curve and the authenticity and how much of yourself you really bring out into the world is an important question for everyone. And it's, you know, I think Kelly Osbourne is a perfect example of somebody who's really coming into her own as her own unique person. And I was very honored. I mean, I kind of think about it. I'm a pretty humble person. I mean, you know that. I'm happy to do the work that I do, and I'm happy to help. And that's always been an important thing to me. But when you look at somebody like Kelly Osbourne or Penny Lancaster, who's Rod Stewart's wife and a model and a photographer in her own right, and I've worked with projects on both of them, and you think, well, geez, I guess they really could pick anyone in Beverly Hills or L.A. or the United States or even in the world, and they picked Carla Lumblade to help them with projects. I'm actually very humbled by that and very honored by that. But I think the message is true in the sense that who you are as a person and taking control of yourself, your career, your weight, you know, for Kelly, that's what the special was that we were working on with some other people, really is a personal pursuit and building and supporting yourself and your self-confidence. People see celebrities all the time and they think, well, of course they've got wonderful self-confidence. In actuality, the process of becoming a celebrity and the things that happen within a career, just from the business aspect, strip every celebrity of any self-confidence they have or thinking that they can create a direction. And I really do believe that that's the number one reason why almost 80% of our young people in celebrity careers are imploding. They're broke, they're jobless, you know, families
they're killing
in
themselves.
Disarray. Families
yeah,
in disarray.
I sent you two links last. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember sending
drug
you two stories
and
said,
else.
Did you see these? I mean, they're horrendous, some of the things that are going on.
Yeah.
And just so sad.
It's sad and it's completely unnecessary. It is completely unnecessary. And so that self-confidence, whether, you know, no matter where you are in your life, no matter what's important to you, having that self-confidence to move into who you are as an individual and express that is paramount. And that is mm-hmm. a human condition struggle for everyone, no matter where you are in the world.
And I'm so glad you said that because it's not just elite athletes that we're talking about here. We're talking about everybody. You can be, you know, handing out paper or plastic in a grocery store, and you still, my thinking is that you should still be so proud of yourself in that moment because that's the moment that you're living in.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you need to stay there at the, you know, Albertsons or the Walmart. You can certainly be plotting, you know, world domination. I do it every night. But I do. I go to bed thinking about world domination. I wake up thinking about world domination. And I have a lot of fun doing it. But that doesn't mean that I want to stand right here for the rest of my life in my little office here. You know, I want to do all kinds of things, and I fully intend to do most of them. And I think the normal human condition is that, isn't that what we all want, no matter what we're doing
yes.
in the moment?
Yes, yes.
But are we
you know,
trained, are we conditioned not to do these things? What's going on?
Yes and yes. There is many schools of thought in therapy and psychology and all of our scientific research and evidence-based practices. One of the ones that I really enjoy the most is the thought that every human being is truly trying to raise to their highest level of potential. And that
right.
if for some reason they're not able to do that, then there are things in the way of that. Now, that's a unique point of view because when you see somebody in the public eye or the media eye faltering with maybe an alcohol or drug problem or something else going on, a lot of, you know, press can come out and say, oh, they're wanting to destroy their lives. They enjoy creating mm-hmm. this kind of negativity around them. And, you know, that's not really the case. It's a paradigm shift to think, you know, somebody's doing the best they have with what they have at that moment. If you can educate them and remove maybe some traumatic events, because celebrities have horrific, tragic events just like everybody else that define them, that they can repress, that can affect their choices. And, you know, so to free them from trauma and then to really step into self-confidence is absolutely a liberating pursuit for anyone. And when you start with an individual and you start from the premise that I know you're doing the best you can with what you have, and maybe the negativity and the things you're choosing to do are those things that you're trying to alleviate the pain with enough to continue mm-hmm. the strength in your journey. Now, that's not a
gotcha.
Point of view that you hear very often, especially, you know, publicly. And, you know, people do negative things in their life because it's causing them a benefit somehow. You know, for example, athletes. We know athletes and drug use, a lot of times drug use starts when they're trying to medicate an injury when they're coming back. And then
I did
they
know that
know,
actually, yeah.
Yeah. And so and then, you know, using medication to reduce anxiety, increase performance, eliminate pain. I mean, you can see very clearly where it initially a positive idea in a weird way, but it is a positive idea where they're trying to perform. Well, they're not just performing for themselves. You know, athletes are probably the largest group of people pleasers out there. They're pleasing their coaches, they're pleasing their wives and their families, they're pleasing their parents. That's super huge. And so they will explode their bodies, implode their emotional world to benefit everyone else around them. And so then, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, this is a loving, caring, giving person that is taking medication to perform better so that they don't let down their team. And that's a way different perspective than somebody who's self-centered, self-absorbed. I did a great interview with a wonderful baseball player who talked openly about his depression and how it killed his professional career. And everybody was shocked to hear that Rob suffered from depression, because on the outside he was the fun guy. He would pull stunts that people would go, oh my gosh, I can't believe he did that. But he was also talked about taking a lot of risks in his life that he said he wasn't suicidal, but he said that he would take risks that if that was the byproduct of it, that wasn't necessarily a bad thing. And so from the outside looking in, you're seeing this totally confident player. He's funny as hell and seemed totally in control of his life. But on the inside, he had these deep emotional struggles. Well, you know, we're now seeing a lot of depression come out, a lot of talk of a traumatic brain injury. And, you know, what if we clinically screened all players, all times, with all teams from the beginnings of their careers? You know, what would that be like?
See, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that really does make sense to me. And what about brain scans? I'm curious to see what you think about brain scans.
Well, you know, we do brain scans as far as, you know, psychology research. And there's some really fascinating research about competitors, especially when you put them in an experimental environment and allow them to compete. We actually study, like, the different parts of their brains and what sides light up, what areas light up. And that's really fascinating. I think MRIs and all that kind of technology has been really moved our, you know, our field, which is evidence and scientifically based, forward. And I'm really happy for that. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but I'm actually trained to screen for traumatic brain injury. I have done some wonderful work with the VA, with young vets, especially returning home after war, and have actually done screening for traumatic brain injury. It's become a big topic with the most modern wars because of, you know, the firepower that we have now and delicate brains right next to, you know, where this firepower is being launched from. And, you know, so I definitely have some training and I'm, you know, have the ability to do that. I think traumatic brain injury, I'm glad it's a huge topic now. I'm going to have Chris Nowinski on my show at some point, who is, you know, spearheading a lot of the work. He's got a wonderful documentary out about traumatic brain injury and young people playing football and other contact sports. And, you know, I think it's a conversation that absolutely needs to be had. I know in my family, I've got an 11-year-old who's probably 5'7", 130 pounds. He's a very big kid, would be a prime football player. And all I've said is flag football, period. So, you know, and I don't care who argues about that. I don't care that, you know, I'm going to have a professional athlete in the family. It's flag football and that's it. And that's the way it's going to stay. And that, so that's, for me as a parent, that is the decision I have made. But I think the talks are huge, the education is huge, and parents really need to come up to speed as to what's really happening as far as our young people, traumatic brain injury, and, you know, as they go into other, you know, other careers later in life.
Right.
So I think it's a huge topic, and I'm glad to hear that.
I agree, yeah, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was watching a documentary the other night, and I was fascinated with it. I think I got dry mouth at the end of it. My jaw was hanging open. A lot of things that I did not know about the brain, but what struck me, I think, the most was that this guy was saying that, you know, your brain is about the consistency of soft butter, and it's housed in this very bony, you know, cranium. And I just thought, okay, I guess I won't be slinging my head back anymore. My ponytail can just irritate me. I'll just leave it right where it's at. You know, but, I mean, that's what I took away from it. I'm such an athlete. You know, my athleticism consists of me slinging my ponytail from left to right. Get it out of the way. But, you know, it's just the brain to me is amazing, and I think we don't take proper care of it. I mean, you know, we're trained as business people, as humans to, you know, take care of our diet, take care of our hair, take care of our nails, take care of our weight. Nobody talks about the brain. Now, what is it that moves us around? It's our brain. So I think it's, you know, a terribly under-discussed topic.
Well, I think a little known fact is, if I ask you, what is the first physical action you ever take? Like, you know, when you're deciding to do something, what is the first physical action you ever take?
When you think about it.
Your thought.
Physical action, you mean?
You're absolutely right.
You're thinking.
And then the very next thought, which is your second action, are those voices inside of you and the negativity telling you you can't do it in whatever form.
Right.
So whether it's voices from your family from the past, whether it's, you know, a coach that said something negative to you. So the first thing is, I'm going to do this, is a thought. The second thing is a thought, oh, I screwed it up this time, which explains the mental block.
Right.
And then the third thing is you physically move forward in the action with those two things going on in your head at the same time. No wonder athletes have performance anxiety. No wonder musicians and, you know, actors have, you know, similar problems. And so, you know, our emotional makeup, how we define ourselves and how we talk to ourselves is really where our peak performance comes from in developing that part of the brain, how we define ourselves. And there's scientific research to you know, prove that. And so, you know, you can do, and you know, that's especially, I think with athletes, that's the biggest example of that. You can have the best skill in the world, and in the world, you know, you can be a world competitor. And yet, when it comes to the difference of making or breaking it in the performance, winning the medal or not, it really does come down to what you think about yourself, what you think your capabilities are, and it being rehearsed and subconscious at that point, because our brain likes to rehearse things and bury them into our subconscious, and we do so many automatic things that we don't even know why we do them to start with. The other thing is, the brain is naturally negative. Your brain, if it is not actively trained by you to be positive, and especially in clinical ways that we know work, your brain will naturally be negative. That's a huge eye-opener for a lot of people that thought they were the only ones struggling with these ideas that they can't make it, or, you know, they're not going to get the big break, or, you know, whatever negative things they think about themselves. That's your brain working the way it should. You know, you're wired for survival. You know, we want you to fight or flight.
Exactly.
You know, you're not going to sit there and, you know, have a happy, positive conversation, because you're either running or you're fighting, and both of those are negative.
Right.
And they're automatic. So, you know, you
and that makes
have
sense.
That to survive.
Yeah.
But we...
So we have come so far from our cave-dweller brethren, I guess, that we have to evolve our thought processes in order to overcome that fight or flight. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. We have to actively train ourselves for positive thinking, self-confidence, especially when you're somebody who has a unique talent and a unique dream. You know, a lot of talented people put up with a lot of bullying. I don't know if you realize that. In fact, celebrity in its own way is a type of bullying. As human beings, we are not designed to be separated out from our families or our friends. You know, we really understand that in school when kids are ostracized or treated negatively in public. Well, let's look at celebrity. I mean, you think about some major celebrities, look at the rights that they don't have. And, you know, it's part of their career and part of their choice. So I'm not taking away the responsibility in that. But can you go to the grocery store and buy a pack of toilet paper? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, there are many things that as a human being, they are isolated. And they are emotionally isolated. There's negative press, negative media. They can't go out a lot of times in the general population. They have to have aliases. And it's a really lonely private life, where a lot of the human things they really can't have in their lives. And that's where, you know, and a lot of times they don't know who to trust. They've trusted a lot of really what they thought were wonderful people. Of course, they're not doing the research beforehand to make sure, and have had that trust violated. And so who does an A-list celebrity go to if they're having a drug problem with their kid, if they're having marriage problems between the two of them, you know, whatever's going on, who do they really go to? I mean, that's a difficult question to even ask at that point, you know. So even
well, and do they want to? Because, you know, if they do show any kind of a weakness, then the press is all over it.
Right. Or is it? And, you know, that's really where I get back to the perfection is in the imperfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when everything's brought down to a human level, humans understand humans, whether you're a celebrity or not. If you've had a bobble in public, if you've had, you know, things that you've had to overcome in your life, we love that. Everybody loves that. Everybody loves to see an underdog become a champion. That's part of our human condition. And we like to see people that are very powerful, but use, like you said, and like I say, use their powers for good, not evil, because we can all do either. And
oh, yeah.
So,
and every
so
day.
So these are the choices that, you know, we talk about as we strategize a career and a public persona and then your private life and how those are separate, how you blend the two. You know, I think young people would make way better decisions in their celebrity careers if they were only educated on what the realities are that are going to come up for them. And I really think it's that simple. And I'm having great success in that simple message. So.
Right. And here's the thing. I mean, social media, and we've talked about this, you and I have talked about this privately, social media can honestly make or break you. It really can. So, and I think, look, I go on Twitter. Twitter offends me daily. It really does. I mean, these people use language that just makes me want to run over something with my car. It's really ugly.
I always love how you describe
it. Nasty. you saw me pause there. But, you know, I mean, some of the things that these kids, and it's mostly kids, say just makes me wonder if they got an education, if they have a brain in their head, and if they're going to die a very violent death. I mean, they're not impressive. Let's just leave it there.
Yeah.
And I think they're really damaging themselves, seriously damaging themselves by doing this. They think it's cool. They think it's cute. They think it's gangster or whatever it is. And it's not. It's damaging. But they don't get it. You know,
yeah,
they're just doing what the herd is doing. And it's a very bad idea. You know,
yeah,
it's that herd mentality.
Really, the thought behind it, too, I mean, if you really look at that from a point of view that a young person who is creating that public image for themselves, if you really look at it from the point of view that they're doing the best they can with what they have and they're really trying to rise to the top and be their best, that's a different perspective than going, oh, geez, you know, I can't believe you said this now.
Right.
I can't believe the media caught you doing this. And I think that's genuinely what they're trying to do with having absolutely no idea how to do it. You know, especially, you know what happens to young people, and I think this happens even too with a lot of their parents, is their parents turn them over to management staff and support staff thinking, okay, great, these people are experienced. They're going to take care of my child financially. They're going to take care of their career as it develops. And the parents really haven't taken time to develop the person behind the talent. To be educated, to be street smart, to know that they can make their own decisions, to know that as a 19 and 20-year-old they can stand up to a bunch of gray-haired old white guys, which, you know, that explains my profession pretty well, and say, no, I'm not going to do this. You all work for me. I'm the talent, and I'm the individual that drives this entire business. I tell my parents, you know, because they're adults, I tell my parents where their function is in my life, and I tell my agent where his or her function is in my life. I tell my attorney my entertainment attorney what their function is, and I develop for myself this image that I want for myself. And I think most young people have a really great concept of that. Oftentimes it happens, you know, singers and musicians, they knew at 3 and 4 years old exactly what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and
right.
The proof that they can take their career where they want is where they make it by the time they're 18, 19, and 20. You know, when you have a national or an international celebrity by the time they're 19 or 20, that is a young person that from the time they were 3, 4, 5 years old knew they had a talent and they lived for what they're doing. Now, to me, that shows focus and determination, stepping out as an individual to get that kind of level of success. So that clearly is already somebody that can decide for themselves what they want, can handle adversity to get there, and ultimately succeed. So why do we then think at that point that that young person can't understand the basics of their financial, you know, situation, why they can't pick good management people based on research and, you know, looking up good, solid, traditional people, and why they can't weed through individuals that are now coming to them because they are financially successful and they are celebrities. Because that's about the number one thing that young people are hit with in their career is like all this attention by all these people who are interested. Ooh, I just got a text. Our guest may be coming in.
Oh, good.
Let me. This is like a phone conversation now. Sorry.
<That's> okay. I didn't want to interrupt.
No. You know, it's funny. It's like, but you know, the flood of new people coming into your life that are there with the ulterior motives to separate you from your money. That's what young people get slammed with from the beginning. The parents
right.
don't understand that that's the situation. They're turning these young people over by themselves to make decisions. The young people usually are very coachable and very people-pleasing, especially with athletes. And, I mean, it's just a situation set up to use that young person individually for their talent. And at the end of their careers, we're seeing almost 80% of them are broke and have no second careers. And,
right.
You know, have lives that are, you know, pretty sad given where they started. So, very fascinating work I do, and I really enjoy it.
It is, and I love what you're doing is getting them early and teaching them positive things instead of trying to get them after they've basically wrecked themselves on the shoals of life, so to speak. So,
yeah.
You know, you're basically coaching them and teaching them how to use their brain, how to use their common sense, which I think is so important, and basically just rise to the level that they need to be at, that they want to be. And I don't think people look at psychology in that way. I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people look at psychology as a crap, I better go get it fixed. You know,
I'm broken.
So,
I'm broken.
Was that technical enough for you?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Mom. But, you know, I mean, that I think is the way that most people look at, you know, I've got to see a therapist, you know, marriage therapist, family counselor. You go there when you darn well have to, you know, when things
yeah.
are pretty broken, don't you? I mean, so
well,
you're
yeah,
doing it actually the opposite way, aren't you?
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. Who doesn't have marriage problems? Who doesn't have problems?
Not me.
With their
I'm
family?
Not married. I fixed that.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you fixed it, see?
I did.
So, you know, who doesn't have, you know, financial problems, you know, figuring out their careers, growing older, they don't have the ability to access, you know, the gift that they had before. You know, nobody's going to be an athlete forever. And,
right.
you know, all of us have those transitional, you know, and then tragedies. All of us have all of that. And for any of us to pretend that we are not going to have points in our life where we can benefit from the education that's already out there, you know, personally, I don't want to spend a lot of time wasting my life anymore reinventing the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a way that I can improve what I'm doing personally for me, and I'm going to research a wonderful expert in it, that is independently confirmed to be somebody wonderful and knowledgeable, and then begin to build who I am through them. My PR people are a prime example. I mean, that's
right.
you know, and that's the, well, you got me green back then. And I, you know, I find myself,
see, I knew you back when.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's been a wonderful journey, and I just, it's a journey everyone should go on in any way that they think that they should. There's just so much wonderful meaning in life, and it really is the only way that we can offset the tragedies that are going to happen to every single one of us. It's really the only way to choose to add positive things in your life, because the crap is going to happen.
It's going to hit the fan. Your guest is here, and I'm going to cue him in, but I really want you to come back, Carla, because what I wanted to do with you today was kind of go along that journey with you, because it honestly has not been that long since, I mean, you were very successful in your career, but you were not a celebrity at that point, and you had not kind of branched out and done all these marvelous things that you've done, and you've done it in short order. I mean, you made a plan, you did it, you went after it.
Yeah, I don't mess around.
You kicked butt the whole way. And I mean, it has been phenomenal to watch, and I really want people to kind of, if you don't mind, sharing a little bit of your journey so they can say, oh, really? Really? Because you made it look easy and effortless, and I know it wasn't. I mean, I know good and well it wasn't.
No, not at all.
But you made it look so elegant and so easy and quick. And I would really like you to come back just so people can go, okay, she did it, I can do it too. Would you mind sharing that story?
Oh, I would love to. And I think my career is along the lines that if you blink, you've missed something.
Yeah. No.
So, yeah, I would be honored
I
to
know.
Do that.
Oh, good. Well, because at that point, I think we're just going to kind of, you know, take the, was what, 2 years? 1 year? What? Not 2 years total.
Not 2 years,
I mean,
yet.
You did this
for a little over a year and a half.
I know.
So, yeah.
I mean, you did this in short order. So, yeah, I would love to get you back and just kind of go
I have the
a little bit along that timeline.
Yeah.
You have what?
I have the secret, and I'll reveal it on your next show.
I would love that. Listen, I am going to cue your guest in. I'm going to leave it to you to introduce him. And thank you so much for inviting him. I am excited. So hold on just a second.
All right. I'm excited, too.
Hi, this is Denise Griffiths, and I'm here with Carla Lundblad, and she will introduce you, and I am so happy to meet you.
Oh, no problem. Nice to meet you as well.
I got to
tell
you, I am so honored to introduce Manny O. Mitchell, and I think all know him as the 2012 USA Olympic silver medalist sprinter, and he was the fine athlete who broke his leg and still continued to run, finished his leg of the race so that he could go on and his teammates could go on to be silver medalists. Good morning, Mario. I'm so glad you're here.
Good morning, love. How are you?
Well, thank you for that. You know, Denise and I have been talking today about celebrity careers and about young people that have special gifts. And, I mean, your gift is one of the most special in the sense that you competed on a world stage. And I think it would be really interesting to talk about kind of, you know, what you were thinking when you were in London and getting ready to compete in the way you did, kind of how you found me and how you kind of reached out and what it is really that you got from our working together and our relationship together.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show, and nice to meet you as well, Denise.
Thank you. Same here.
Basically, I consider myself a mental athlete. I've accomplished a lot in a very short amount of time, and I think that's a compliment of you know, focusing on the primary task at hand, and then everything else will, you know, fall into place at the necessary time. And through my working with you and, you know, just challenging myself mentally as an athlete and as a student of the sport, you know, really buckling down on what needs to be done, that inner challenge of yourself, like the inner side of you, knowing, like, memory of your race and just getting to know yourself better and knowing the atmosphere, knowing the athletes that you're competing against. Those are things that a lot of athletes overlook. And when they get to a situation such as the Olympic Games, which is the highest that you can go in my event, then you're under so much pressure. But I believe that I was not under any pressure at all, even after the break or during the break or whatnot. And, you know, it's just things like that that help you strengthen yourself, not only as an athlete, but as a person. Because if you don't know yourself, I mean, you can't know anyone else. And once you learn yourself, you learn a lot of different things about yourself, both on and off the track. So I contribute that to you know, her, Carla, and helping me out with that. So I'm definitely appreciative of it.
Oh, thank you. Now, Denise, I want him, because I know it's pretty brief here. Now, Manny's
career. We can go as long as we like.
Okay. Manny's career has gone now from the Olympic world stage to now some different things. Some of the projects he can talk about, some of them he can't. I had a wonderful opportunity of going with him on set with the doctors when he appeared there on a segment. And he now is developing other parts of his career, which are equally important and will definitely be more important as he becomes an older athlete. He knows that, and that those are the additional areas that, you know, that we work on. In fact, I've been asking him some pretty thought-provoking questions about that. We've been having some conversations behind the scenes. So, Manny, talk a little bit about what's going on in your career now. What's happened there? You know, there's this wonderful picture of you with President Obama shaking your hand, and that must have been a really amazing moment. So talk about that and kind of where things are going for you now.
Well, through my experience and my journey at the Olympic Games and through everything that happened, it's opened up a lot of opportunities for me, both on and off the track, as well as, you know, lifelong experiences that some people dream to have. And like I said before I even got into the sport of track and field, I said I wanted to change the world. I didn't want to just run a race. I wanted to extend beyond the track. I wanted to leave a message. And I wanted to inspire a generation. And it's just ironic that the Olympic theme for this year was to inspire a generation. So in doing so, I've got to meet, you know, celebrities, bukus of celebrities, President Obama. That was definitely one of the highlights of my year because he actually called me out in his speech, and it caught me off guard. And, I mean, there's pictures to prove it. And his wife, the lovely First Lady, Michelle Obama, adopted me as her son. Verbatim, I guess you can say, but it was just an awesome, you know, experience. But I've ventured out into different things. I'm really into fashion, so I'm definitely trying to, you know, extend upon that. I really like sitting behind the cameras and TV, so hopefully we can jump into that genre as well. But there's a lot of doors that are open for me, and I'm just very honored and blessed to, you know, have these opportunities. And again, that stems back to working with Carla and, you know, getting to know myself and knowing my strengths and knowing my weaknesses and knowing my opportunities and how to, you know, correlate all that together and become a great person. And that's what I'm hoping to do.
So I love that you said become a great person. I think that's the most important thing you can do in your life.
Yep, it definitely is. It's often overlooked. Like I said, a lot of athletes just go out there and they just play football or they just run track, but it's more than that for me. Like I said, I want to inspire, and to inspire you have to be inspired, and I'm inspired by a lot of different athletes. I'm inspired by Carla. You know, just she's a phenomenal woman. I know she's listening right now, but don't want to put her on blast or anything like that, but she definitely helped me out. I really had a moment this season, this summer before the games, where I was literally about to break down, and you know, she challenged me. She challenged my heart. She challenged my mind. And we got it rolling. We got the ball rolling. So I'm definitely appreciative of services like that and people like her. So that's a great person.
Thank you.
I agree with you. When did you know, you're a very young man, when did you know that you wanted to inspire other people? I am of the firm belief that you lead by example. You don't bully people. You don't tell them what to do. You lead by example, and clearly that is what you're doing. When did you know that this is what you wanted?
That's very true. Definitely leading by example. And it's very tough, especially being, I'm only 25 years old, and a lot of people have come before me, and a lot of people will come after me. But my job here on this earth is to make sure that I leave my stamp and I leave my mark. And in doing so, I have to do it the correct way. So, I mean, it's not always going to be positive. There will be negative things that come at me, and there already have been. But that's a part of the service that, you know, people like Carla give you, and it's, you know, knowing yourself and knowing, hey, that's not really a good decision for me to make, so I should go elsewhere. But, you know, just being positive and keeping a positive mindset about things is definitely what gets you over the edge of the negativity that you may encounter. So that's how you pretty much, that's how I feel like I inspire people.
Well, good for you. I'm so glad you're on the show today. Thank you so much for showing up with us today.
Thank you.
Carla, you guys keep on talking. I'm fascinated. I'm going to sit here and listen.
Well, I know Manio's time is limited. I'm not sure how much time you have left, Manio.
Yeah, they're calling me in to eat lunch now, so.
Well, you're an athlete. You need to eat. And I am so thankful to have you on the show. And I have been honored to be, you know, as much as you've been my fan, I have been very honored to be yours and follow your career. And, you know, I'm sitting there just, you know, with Kleenex and excited and, you know, and watching you perform and knowing that you had everything within you. And I just think it's so amazing that when we all step out of our own ways, it's the talent just finds its way. And there are many things in life. There are many things in life that you're going to go on to do that were built off of you being a sprinter.
You're too kind.
Well, I look forward. You and I are going to be sitting down here real soon because he's coming to LA for a project that he's working on. And I'm very excited to be sitting down with you, Manio, so I can't wait. And
I will see you in 8 days.
Wahoo! Looking forward to it.
8 days. I have it on my calendar.
I want to see pictures.
Oh, there will be. We're usually pretty good about that.
All over Facebook, huh? And listen, Manio, yeah. If you ever want to appear as a guest on my show, I would love to have you. I would be honored if you would come back as a guest.
No problem.
Great. Well, I'll set that up with Carla.
Sounds good to me. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, and you have a great day.
All right, you too. I'll see you, Carla.
All right, Manio. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Carla, I have to say, you rock. That's all I've got to say. What a great way to kick off your Partner in Success Radio for the new year. That was amazing, and I thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, I call in from a cell phone, I drop a call, but, you know, it's what you bring in the end that counts.
You know what? Every time we do this, we have technical problems, don't we?
Yeah,
I think it's our brilliance. We're setting something off with our brilliance. I don't know what it is, but
yeah, you know,
we're making some kind of mess out there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's really, what I really set about doing when I started what I'm doing is changing an industry for the better, and creating better conditions and a better working environment for young people who have amazing things to offer. And we know that young people who are in celebrity and in fame and doing things in their lives are important role models. And I think it's really time that we take back that important role of role models. And, in fact, that was a conversation Kelly Osborne and I had about the importance of young people being role models and how that is important to people like Kelly Osborne and Manio Mitchell. And I think it's time we get back to really seeing the good things that are possible and making good choices and really seeing the benefits of that. And I am just humbly honored to be part of that journey for many celebrity people at this point, you know, in their careers and in their lives. It is the work that truly gives my life meaning.
Well, and you know, I have heard you say that before, that this is the thing that really makes you light up. Because you're working in a science that you love, but you're working with people that you really can make a difference with them in a very, very positive way.
Yeah, isn't that great?
we have about a minute left. Tell people where they can find you on the internet.
Well, I'm very searchable now, which is a good thing. It's CarlaLundblade.com, LundBlade. And you can go to my website. I have a wonderful testify section where I have
Manio and
a host of other people on there that are talking about this work and how important it is. You can see my media. You can see my gallery. The most recent thing with Kelly Osborne. There's some other exciting stuff coming up. So, yeah, you can find me there. And on Facebook, girl, you know that.
Right. Right, you're on Facebook. Yeah. And this is what I need to know. When do you sleep? I mean, do you sleep?
I dream. You know, I'll dream about work. So, yeah. I mean,
I do the same thing.
It's a wild and crazy life, and I'm just enjoying every minute of it and, you know, reduce the negativity and maximize what's positive. And, you know, I think I'll head in the right direction. And I just think that's the meaning of life, really.
It is. It really is, and I'm so glad you were here. I'm so glad
that
you were my first interview of the year. I know we planned this, and I'm so glad you could make it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Denise. I'm so happy. I will be here anytime.
Well, definitely I want you to come back and you talk about your trajectory, because you have done some really amazing things. I mean, I'm a social media expert, and I can't keep up with you. So,
wow.
Should I have said that on the radio?
No, that's an honor. That's an honor for me. Thank you.
You are doing astonishing things, and you're doing them just beautifully and seamlessly and elegantly. So, yeah, I will absolutely love to have you back. And thank you so much for introducing Manio. That was amazing. It was a gift I didn't expect.
My pleasure.
So, anyway, thank you, everybody, for being here today. The show will be available for download in about an hour, maybe a little less. This is Denise Griffiths and Carla Lenblade. We just said goodbye to Manio Mitchell. We wish you a wonderful, wonderful new year and a great weekend, and I will see you next week. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you, Denise.
Bye.